Hey guys, every morning as you start coming in for a week of prayer, let's try to remember to keep it down. Remember, this is the sanctuary, so we're going to be a little bit more respectful than if we were like running into the gym for basketball. Okay. Thanks, guys. Welcome to Week of Prayer. How many of you guys are excited? Yeah, it's going to be awesome. We're excited to have Pastor Steve from Portland Adventist Academy. So we thought we'd have a nice, bright, sunshiny day to welcome him. So welcome to Eastern Washington. All right, our first song is Rain in Us. It was our theme song last year, so some of you guys should know it.
You thought of us before the world began to breathe. You knew our names before we came to be. You saw the very day we fall away from you. And how desperately we need to be redeemed. Lord Jesus, come lead us. We're desperate for your touch. Oh great and mighty one, with one desire we come, that you would reign, that you would reign in us. We're offering up our lives, a living sacrifice, that you would reign, that you would reign in us. Spirit of the living God, fall fresh again. Come search our hearts and purify our lives. We need your perfect love, we need your discipline. We're lost unless you guide us with your light. Lord Jesus, come lead us. We're desperate for your touch. Oh great and mighty one, desire we come, that you would reign, that you would reign in us. We're offering up our lives, a living sacrifice, that you would reign, that you would reign in us. We cry out for your love to revive us. Cry out for your love to define us. Cry out for your mercy to keep us blameless until you return. Oh great and mighty one, with one desire we come, that you would reign, that you would reign in us. We're offering up our lives, a living sacrifice, that you would reign, that you would reign in us.
All right, guys, this is our theme song. It's called Arms Open Wide. So bear with us, we're learning it too. It's really, really good and kind of easy. So if you guys would stand up, please, we'll sing our theme song together.
Take my life, I lay it down at the cross where I am found. All I have, I give to you, my God. Take my hands and make them clean. Keep my heart in purity, that I may walk in all you have for me. Oh, here I stand, arms open. take my moments and my days. Let each breath that I take be ever only for you, O God. Oh, 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 here I stand, arms open wide. Oh, 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 I am yours and you are mine. My whole life is yours, I give it all, surrender to your name, and forever I will pray, have your way.
You sit. Dear God, thank you so much for this lovely day. Thank you so much for music. And God, please help us to praise only you with it. We love you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Good noontime almost. Yes. Who's hungry? Sorry, you have to wait a few more minutes before you can go for lunch. But first of all, I would like to introduce you to my good friend, Pastor Stephen Lundquist from Portland Adventist Academy. He is the chair. Come on up, Stephen. Hang on, I gotta make sure I'm taller than you. Stephen is the chair of the Bible department at PAA, and he is here to share with us. He was born and raised, I don't know where you're born, but you were raised in Pendleton.
I was, yes.
Yes. Where were you born?
Pendleton.
Pendleton. Anybody from Pendleton? Oh, nobody from Pendleton.
All right.
Where, you can raise your hand. No one from Pendleton. Anyone from Hermiston? Yes, there's a few
Hermiston
nearby there, yes. And Stephen actually, you know, was taught by Pastor Fred, and Miss Lacey, I'm sure, had something to do with that. And who else is still here? Oh, yes, don't forget Mr. Lacey. Anyone else who's still here?
I think that's it.
That's it.
Yeah.
Okay, Stephen graduated in 1999. So we're dating him just a little bit from the great school of Upper Columbia Academy. He's been all over the world, Japan, New Zealand, Fiji, and other places. And he's going to share with you guys, he's going to tell you some great stories as well. So Stephen, we are glad that you are here. Please share with us
All right, thank you.
And this week.
Thank you, John.
Thank you.
Well, I bring you... You guys are very kind. I haven't even said anything yet. My goodness. I bring you glad tidings of great joy from Portland, Oregon, in spite of what you may have heard. Jesus is alive and well in Portland, and I know he's alive and well here as well. Man, there's some local Portland connections. If your sister is Carissa Ng, oh, I need to meet you. There you are. Very cool. Very good. And if you call Greg Phillips your uncle, somebody, oh, good. A couple of you. Very fantastic. Oh, good. And if your name is Courtney McPhee, we need to talk. Very cool. Good to see you. You know, pulling in this morning, I drove over this morning, and as I got closer and closer to UCA, I started to feel nervous inside, and I thought, why am I feeling so nervous inside? And I realized it's because I wasn't sure if it would still be open. And I got closer and closer and closer, and my anxiety went away when I saw that it still is open. The harvester lives on. The harvester lives on. Oh! Nobody goes to the harvester this week without telling me. I'm there. I'll go with you. Let's do it. So thanks for inviting me to be here. Let's have a word of prayer. Father God, what a privilege it is to pause in the middle of what is a very busy day already to focus on things that are truly important. God, would you help us to listen? More importantly, would you speak in Jesus' name? Amen. The most important thing is to keep the most important thing the most important thing. It was my senior year. Where are my seniors? Oh, I can tell by the smiles on your face. I know who you are. You don't get anything done at this time of year. It was my senior year, and I was perched on the edge of the stage right up there in the gymnasium, and there was some really bad basketball being played, and so I was sort of watching that. And I was talking to some of my friends when she walked in the door. Now, I was a senior by now, and I knew most students on campus. At least I recognized most of them, but this was the new girl. She was blonde. She was bold. She was beautiful. And one of our mutual friends brought her over to the stage and introduced me to her. And we talked for 20 minutes, we talked for 30 minutes. I still remember every part of the conversation that we had. A couple months later, I asked her on our first date. It was just the two of us and 58 other people on a bus going up to Schweitzer for snowboarding. So romantic. And then a few weeks after that, we had our second date. I invited her to just the two of us and about 200 other people in the cafeteria for the banquet. So romantic. It was beautiful. And then in the spring, it was the girls ask guys banquet, and she invited me to the banquet. And then March 9, 1999, the day that changed my life. I went into my dorm room, and I picked up the landline. Each dorm room was equipped with a landline. It's a telephone. And I picked it up, and I dialed her extension, and I was so nervous, and she picked up the phone. And I stumbled my way through because you don't have caller ID. So I said, hey, this is Stephen. It's a beautiful evening. Would you like to go for a walk with me? It was just before recreational time. We called it rec. You call it rec? Yeah, you see all of the smooth guys, they do their best work during rec. And so I called her up and I said, do you want to go for a walk together? And she said, yes. And so I went over to the girl's dorm, and I picked her up, and we walked the loop right by those faculty homes and by the football field and then in front of the dorms, and we made one lap. And my heart was beating fast because I knew I needed to ask the question, but I was just so nervous. And so we did a second lap. And my friends started to notice what was happening. And so there were people hanging out of their dorm rooms and yelling from the field, like, "Come on, you got this, man! You can do it!" And we're walking, and we did three laps, we did four laps. She's freezing cold. I didn't even notice. And finally, we heard the sound of the bell. It's more like a buzzer, really. The sound of the buzzer saying it's time to go back to your dorm. And I thought, it's now or never. And we stopped right there in the middle of the road near the cafeteria. And I looked behind me to make sure nobody was too close. And I looked in front of me and no one was around. And I asked that all-important question. Will you go out with me? And she said, yes. She's, come on! Why would I possibly tell the story if she had said no? She said yes, and I'm proud to say she's been saying yes every day since then. We've been married almost 8 years. Almost 8 years. Oh. Oh. You never know who you'll meet at UCA. Her name is Kendry, now Lundquist. Lundquist. You never know. You never know who you'll meet at UCA. And now all of you are thinking back to the last banquet and thinking, who? Oh. Whoa. Mind blown, right? Wow, that's crazy. That's crazy. Now, 2 months. 2 months later, 2 months later, on the cusp of graduation, we had something called note night. Okay, you still, I actually checked with Courtney beforehand because I thought maybe now it would just be like text night and everybody texts each other. But you still have note night, right? And she wrote me a note. And right here on the outside, it says, Stephen. That's my name. Oh. And oh, that's so exciting when the big garbage bag of notes comes over and they dump them all out and people are pawing through them looking for that note with your name on it. And I found my note that night. And I suppose one of my options would have been simply to look at the outside and be like, wow, that is special. Tape it to my wall, and I could tell people when they came to visit my room, I got a note for note night, and it has my name on the outside. What's it say on the inside? I don't know. But it has my name on the outside. What if God wrote a note and nobody read it? 80% of Americans own a Bible. I'm guessing it's closer to 100% here. Did you know that if you can name the first book of the Bible, you are more biblically literate than half the nation? Did you know that if you can name the four Gospels, you are more biblically literate than half the nation? Did you know that if you can name 5 out of the 10 commandments in any order, paraphrased, you are more biblically literate than 2/3 of the nation? What if God wrote a book and nobody read it? I think one of the biggest problems with this is if we quit reading Scripture, then we start making God in our own image. And when I make God in my own image, there's a good chance, in fact, a 100% chance, that God will look drastically different than he reveals himself in Scripture. Ah, of course, I open the note. It starts out, Steve, comma. Not dear Steve, that might have seemed a little, you know, 2 months. Just Steve. I love you lots. Exclamation point. Oh, I'm so glad I'm the lucky girl who has been yours for the past 2 months. You are so good to me. I'll never forget all the memories. I'll never forget all the memories. And then it kind of goes on for a little bit. It just wouldn't make a lot of sense if I read it. And then we drop down to the last paragraph. Oh, and oh man, your English teachers would be proud. Her English teacher would be proud. She kind of ends where she started again. Love you lots. Last paragraph. Love you lots. And I'm looking forward to more fun months. And then she wrote love, and she wrote her name, Kendry. Kendry. Now I, after 14 years, still have this note, and many others like it, by the way. Not because there's particular value in the paper, not because there's particular value in the ink, but instead, the reason I have this note after 14 years is the person who wrote it, and my relationship with her. Jesus was talking to educated people, actually quite like you. They went to a service every Sabbath. They went to a religious school. In fact, they had Bible classes. And he's talking to these religious people. And he says something very, very interesting. It's in John chapter 5, John chapter 5 and beginning in verse 39. I'm so excited. I heard pages turning when I said that. Thank you. John chapter 5 and beginning in verse 39, and it says, Jesus says to them, "You study the Scriptures diligently because you think that in them you have eternal life." Hit pause right there. Is it good they were studying the Scriptures diligently? But of course. But of course. But there was a common saying back in the day. It was something that people would frequently say, and they'd say, "He who has the words of the law has life." Ah, almost. Almost. Because Jesus comes along and he says, no. It's not the law that equals life. Instead, he who has the Son has life. And Jesus then continues. He says, "You diligently study them. You think that in them you have eternal life. These are the very Scriptures that testify about me." Now hit pause for just a moment right there, because it's critical, it's critical. When we think of finding Jesus in the Scriptures, we're going to turn to Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Romans. That's where we're going to go. But though that was not Scripture. The Scriptures that Jesus is talking about is what we now call the Old Testament. And he is making the case that Scripture, from Genesis to Malachi, is all about It's all about him. The reason that we value this book. It's not about the paper. It's not about the ink. It's about the Jesus that is behind it, the Jesus that is revealed in it, and the relationship that that represents. This is not God, but it leads me to God. Someone once told me that the Bible is like an Oreo cookie, and I like that. Especially at 12:17, that sounds pretty good. And if you hold it up like this, it kind of looks like an Oreo cookie, doesn't it? Kind of like a double stuff Oreo cookie. Yeah? Somebody said amen. Yeah. It does. It looks kind of like a double stuff Oreo cookie. And here's the deal. The Bible is like an Oreo cookie, and here's how. The top cookie, and we're going to include in it not just the cover, of course, but the first few pages. It's this description of God and humans in a relationship, an intimate relationship. Then the last cookie, the final cookie in the last few pages, is a description in the future of God and humans in relationship. And so what is all the filling? The filling is God working to restore that relationship. The Bible is all about relationship. This week we are going to dive into Scripture. And as we spend time in Scripture, I'd encourage you to remember that the most important thing is to keep the most important thing the most important thing. And the most important thing is Jesus. Is Jesus. Let me pray with you. Father God, we dive into this week of prayer, not knowing exactly what you have in store for us, but knowing that when we pause to listen, you show up, and when you show up, you change us. So we ask that everything that we say, everything we do, everything we hear would be all about Jesus. We ask that this would be a week when we keep the most important thing, the most important thing. In Jesus' name, and everybody said, amen, amen. By the way, I couldn't do that to you and talk about Oreos and all these kinds of things. You know, we learn better when we're doing things and consuming things. So today, if you go to lunch at the cafeteria, I have a massive bag of Oreos, and if you come and introduce yourself to me, I will give you an Oreo to remind you that the Bible is like an Oreo. I will see you there.